The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude, the disciples were with him, and he asked, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" They said, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." Jesus rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our second of 3 days and 2 years in the book of Ecclesiastes. Today we see the development of what was introduced yesterday about the vanity of vanities regarding human life as a whole in the mind of the author. "There's appointed time for everything," he writes. But no matter what cycles occur, the big question is, what advantage do we get from any of it? Whether birth or death, planting or uprooting, killing or healing, tearing down, building, weeping, laughing, mourning, dancing, whatever. It just seems to go around and around and around and around with no point. But there's a glimmer of hope here. What we would call almost a deuteroevangelion. Another promise of the coming of the gospel. God has made everything appropriate to its time and has put the timeless into their hearts without man's ever discovering, from beginning to end, the work that God has been doing. That in the time of birth and in the time of death and in all the other things that Ecclesiastes tells us, God is trying to bring about good. And that happened in the fullness of time, as St. Paul said to the Galatians, when the eternal Word took on human nature and Kairos entered into Kronos. God was bringing his work to completion. And going beyond the sense that man is like a breath, his days like a passing shadow, to a situation in which man would be filled not with a passing ruah, the Hebrew word for breath, but the eternal ruah, who is the Holy Spirit. And we see that progression in today's gospel. Jesus asks the disciples who everybody was saying that he was. And they responded, "You're being ranked among the greatest figures of all time. Some think you're John the Baptist raised from the dead, or Elijah, who was the second most long awaited one, because he was supposed to set the stage for the Messiah, or one of the ancient prophets has arisen, because you're doing it just like these inspired people have led the people of Israel before." But none of that was accurate. Prophets come and go. They're born and they die. Same old, same old. Jesus asked, "But who do you say that I am?" That's when Peter, as we know by Matthew's account, filled by the Spirit sent by the Father, exclaimed, "You are the Christ of God. You are the Messiah, the anointed one, the long-awaited one." He was the one who was coming to save time. and to fulfill that plan that God had planted without man's knowledge. Jesus, though, pointing to the fact that there's still in the way a time for everything, he who would have his own hour and before it wouldn't engage the hour, Jesus rebuked them. In other words, he sternly admonished them and directed them not to tell this to anybody because the receptivity wasn't there yet in the part of others, and they would understand if people were saying Jesus was the Messiah, that he was coming for a political mission rather than a soteriological one. But later, the time would be different and remain permanent, in which we would proclaim the gospel to every creature, baptizing, teaching them to carry out everything the Lord had commanded, knowing that he's always with us until the very end of time in eternity. How do we make this transition from the meaninglessness of cyclical temporality to the meaningfulness of life with God? We need to make a choice. And the psalm that connects these two readings teaches us about that choice. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, we proclaim. And then we profess the Lord to be our rock, in other words, our security, our stability, our mercy, even when we fall, our fortress to protect us against the wiles of all those who seek, especially diabolically, to do us eternal harm. Stronghold. He embraces us just like he embraces Peter when Peter was sinking in the waters and holds us above them. Our deliverer, the one who gave his life to ransom us, as we proclaimed in the gospel verse. Our shield against every type of dart, in whom we place our trust. We make that transition from time to eternity when we recognize that the Lord is an eternal rock and that we seek to stand in him. He who takes notice of us, who thinks of us, and who makes us far more than a breath or a day's like a passing shadow. In fact, they're a down payment on eternity. That's the way we do it. And the means by which we do it happens here at Mass, in which in time we participate in the eternal sacrifice of the Last Supper of Calvary and of Easter Sunday morning together with Jesus. It's here when we say our Amen, which means to uphold or to build our whole life on someone, that we do so anew by God's grace. In him. Together, let us pray for each other that today we might make that choice permanent as we continue to go through these vicissitudes of time together with him. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.